I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?
Well, good evening, everyone. I'm always thankful for the opportunities that I have. The title lesson is The Faith in Eliah. And in Joshua chapter 9, I believe that's exactly what we find, a mistaken alliance. An alliance that should not have taken place, an alliance that was not considered the way it should be considered, an alliance that wasn't looked at the way it should have been looked at. Because of that, I'd say it was a mistaken alliance. What's interesting is if you look around our society today, they're trying to make alliances everywhere. It's like they'll say that there is no impossible alliance. You can be in alliance with anybody. You can be in a unity with anyone. It doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter what you believe. There is no impossible alliance out there. There is no impossible partnership. But I think the Bible actually paints a picture that's very contrary to what our society is trying to tell us. In the Bible, I think it's a picture that, you know what, there are things that we have to have in common to be united. But yet our society says, you know what, there's so many things that we can cast aside. It doesn't matter if you believe in Jesus, it doesn't matter if you worship this way, it doesn't matter if you do things this way. There are certain things that don't matter, we can just cast those aside and we can be united. Here in Joshua chapter 9, we have people that I think make a mistake in alliance. And I think by looking at Joshua chapter 9 and this treaty that's made that I think was a mistake, we can learn from that perhaps things that we should watch out for when we're making alliances, whether it is in our physical lives or whether it's in our spiritual lives and when it comes to religion and the way we live our lives. See, I think 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 and following, I think we have a case that there are things that are different. But yet our society says, no, there are no things that are different. And in fact, we can be united on all kinds of things. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? See, here's some things that can't be united, right? We cannot have light united with darkness. And that makes sense. If we go into a dark room and we turn on the light, what immediately happens is the darkness goes away. Darkness and light cannot be united. And we see this picture painted out, and he goes on and he says, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? There are certain things. And we do want to be careful and we do want to consider these things, but there are certain things that cannot be in alliance. Light is certainly not in alliance with darkness. And those are the things that we have to consider. There are things that are objective right and wrong. And that's something that our society runs away from at every opportunity. Our society runs away from the idea that there could be something called righteousness and something called unrighteousness. They don't like it, they'll run away from it. In fact, if you look around our society, what they're trying to do is they try to make every issue, you know, non-essential. Now, I understand that there are things that are matters of opinion. That's not what we're talking about. But there are some absolute essentials that if not agreed upon, unity cannot be there. Unity cannot be there. There are matters of opinion. But when it comes to righteousness and unrighteousness, are those matters of opinion? Are those things that we can just decide and change whenever we feel like it? You know, a lot of times people find themselves in very strange alliances. I think people find themselves in mistaken alliances because they haven't considered what righteousness is and what unrighteousness is. There's some strange alliances that if you look at today, we would say, how could that alliance even take place? For example, Jews and Muslims. Is there any case where we could say, you know, Jews and Muslims meeting at the same place and agreement? You know, people are starting to do that now. We would think that you know, Jewish faith and the Muslim faith, they could never come together and have anything. But yet people are trying to do that now. You know, you think that there are some alliances that would just be impossible, like black members of the KKK. And yet we see things like that. You know, it's really strange how slowly but surely we have degraded the things that people can be unified on. The things that we can be unified on become so meager and so small that we look at it and say, how can alliance even take place? But yet people are trying to do that. See, what people are trying to do and what Satan's trying to do, but slowly but surely, is Satan's trying to make it gray and trying to say that the gray is okay. You know, we've got a little bit of the light, we've got a little bit of the darkness, we mix those together, gray's okay, but that's not what the Bible's pointing out. It's righteousness and unrighteousness. And if we can't clearly define what those things are, I think we'll find ourselves in a mistaken alliance. I think we'd find ourselves in an impossible alliance, one that we could not maintain, because the ideas are conflicting. The ideas cannot go together. I think God really tries to pound this home. And if you look in John chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to light, and his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." There's certain things that cannot be in a life. There's certain things that cannot be unified on, but yet our world is trying to say it's okay. Light and darkness cannot mix. When we're talking about righteousness and unrighteousness, those can't mix. But yet people are trying to mix those all the time. They're trying to be unified on things that cannot possibly be unified. In Joshua chapter 9, we find a treaty that's made, and I think it was a mistake. And I think the Bible's telling us a mistake, and I think if we look at it, maybe we can look at it through the lens of ourselves and make sure that we don't make the same mistakes as they did here in Joshua chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, "But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors, and they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins, torn and mended, old and patched sandals in their feet, and old garments on themselves, and all the bread and their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua, to the camp of Gilgal, and they said to him and to the men of Israel, 'We have come from a far country, now therefore make a covenant with us.' Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, 'Perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you?' But they said to Joshua, 'We are your servants.' And Joshua said to them, 'Who are you, and where have you come from?' So they said to him, 'From a far country, your servants have come because of the name of the Lord your God, for we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt.'" We have Joshua, he's going into the promised land, he's leading his campaign, and actually he's being very successful. He took Jericho, he defeated Ai, and then we have the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites are actually in the promised land, and they're seeing what Joshua is doing. He's coming through, and he's just taking city after city, and they're afraid. And they say, "You know what? What if we can get Joshua on our side? He won't attack us. You know, if we can get Joshua on our side, he won't attack us if we can make a treaty." So they come up with a plan, and we see the plan right there is they're going to pretend like they're from a faraway country and say, "Hey, let's make peace. We're from a faraway country. You know, we can have peace." And we see the conversation that Joshua has here, and we think in context, when God told them to go into the promised land, what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to take out everyone. There was no exception. They were supposed to take out everyone in the promised land. And yet we're going to see if they actually accomplish that. As the reading goes on, we have their story unfold, their lies, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Therefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, 'Take provisions with you for this journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, We are your servants. Now therefore make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took, caught for our provision from our houses, and on the day we departed to come to you, but now look, it's dry and moldy. And these wine skins, which were filled with new and sea, they are torn, and these our garments and our sandals have become old because of our long journey.'" They're lying to Joshua, and they're trying to say, "Hey, we're from a far country. Look at all this. When we left, we had all fresh food. When we left, we had garments that were not damaged." And he's telling this lie. In verse 14, it says, "The men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. You know, as the religious world gets more foggy, people are going to do similar things to the Gibeonites. They're going to try to make alliances. They're going to say, hey, why don't you join up with us? We're friends, after all. We're friends, and you know what? We like the God that you serve. We've heard about the God you serve, and we want to be united. We want to have an alliance. We want to have peace. We want to have understanding with one another. They're going to come with this story, and they're going to come with all these lies. But I see the first mistake that's going to lead to all kinds of other problems for Israel and Joshua is they didn't counsel God. I suggest to you, whenever we make an alliance in this life, whether it's in relation to our marriages, when it's relation to our homes, when it's relation to all these things that are in our lives, our spiritual lives in the church, the first thing that we must do is we must consult God. Because what we have here is an impossible alliance, an alliance that will not work. Why will it not work? Because God has said, Joshua, when you go into Israel, you are going to destroy all of the inhabitants of the land. And what has he just done? He's made a treaty with the people that are inhabiting the land. How do you do that? How does the conqueror make a treaty with those that are about to be conquered? How can you be the one that is supposed to take over these people, and yet now you're making a decision, no, I can't take over these people? That's an impossible partnership. It's a mistaken alliance. And people do this in religion all the time. A lot of times they'll buy into the lies, they'll fall into the smoke screen, they'll fall into all of this that looks good on the outside, but what they forget to do is counsel God. Do we counsel God when it comes to our spiritual alliances? Because I can tell you that the Lord's church has been struggling with this in years past, particularly recently. Slowly but surely, the Lord's church is starting to see the denominations, and denominations are coming and saying, hey, we've got some things in common, right? We like the God that you serve. We like some of the things that you do benevolently. Why don't we join together? Hey, you guys pray, we pray. Let's have a prayer group together, and let's do these things. You've got to be careful. Will we consult God, or will we fall into the same trap that Joshua does? Joshua goes, you know what? This sounds good. You know, they want to be our friends. They want to be our allies. Doesn't this sound good? They're from a faraway country. This sounds great to me. But what did he not do? He didn't counsel God. Will we counsel God when it comes to our spiritual allegiance? Will we counsel God when it comes to our spiritual partnership? You know, I think about marriage as well. Did you consult God before you entered marriage? Did you think about your partner? Did you think about the relationship that you were getting into? Did you think about your spiritual relationship with Christ? Did you think about the entity, the church, and its spiritual relationship with other people and the world around it? Are we consulting the Bible when it comes to our beliefs? In 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible tells us that the Bible has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, or proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, when we look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it says there's righteousness and there's unrighteousness, which the world doesn't want to, you know, admit. And then we look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, hey, you know what? If you consult the Bible, if you consult the Word of God, you can know what righteousness is. Not a righteousness of opinion, but a righteousness based and founded upon the words of God. You know, I look back and I reflect on my life. What are the biggest messes that I've got myself into? And I think to myself, you know, many times it was when I didn't consult the Word of God. When I didn't think about what God thought about this particular issue, and I just went ahead myself, thinking that I knew best, and I got myself into a world of hurt many times. Because I didn't consult God first. Joshua just made a huge mistake because he didn't consult God. And now he's in this relationship that's really impossible. It can't work. Why can't it work? Because they're supposed to conquer these people, and they just made a treaty where they can't conquer them. Now we see as the passage unfolds, we see what happens. They end up, the Gibeonites become slaves, and things start to work out, but it's going to cause problems down the road for the Israelites. You know, we have two options, righteousness and unrighteousness, and I wonder if we consult God when it's needed. Do we consult God when it comes to our unity? Do we consult God as we go out to the world and we consider alliances and things of that nature when it comes to spiritual things? there's a lot of strange things that are happening in the religious world. A lot of weird alliances that are happening that we've never saw before in the history. And why is that? Because people aren't consulting God anymore. They're saying, hey, we can be best buds. We can be friends. Why? Well, we're not going to look at God's Word. Yeah, we can worship in that way. That's okay. And we see this happening all the time. We see it even in our communities in relation to schools. They try to have these prayers events. And they try to bring the Catholics, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Church of Christ, they try to bring them all together and say, let's have a prayer group together. Well, how can we do that? We disagree on so many things, and they try to do that on Saturday, and then come Sunday, what do? We all separate again. There's some strange alliances going on. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we consulting God? How would God feel about this alliance? How would he consider this? How would he view this? But yet our society is pushing us very quickly, very suddenly, towards, hey, let's all be in alliance with everyone. An alliance and a partnership is not worth anything if it's not based upon truth. And what the world is trying to get us to do is negotiate our values. And really, that's what's going to end up happening with Israel, is they make this first mistake of not counseling God, and then you know what it leads to? It leads them to be in relationships where they're surrounded by evil, and then being in relationships surrounded by evil, you know what that leads to? Them compromising their moral values. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen with people. But I think people forget about the process of being saved. You know, you think about how an individual is saved just in physical life. You know, you think of a lifeguard. This, of course, I was a lifeguard for a little bit of time. You know, it was one of those, you know, just summer things, real quick. You know, not something that I made up. Well, but one of the first things they said is, if you can save the person without getting in the water, that's the way to do it. In fact, they said they gave you plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, and you know what all those plans involved? Not getting in the water. Because they say if you get in the water, what will the person do? They'll start driving the pawn at you. And because they're panicking, they don't really consider you as their savior sometimes. They consider you as, you know, I can probably grab hold of this person. And they're panicking, and all they're trying to do is get their air, and they'll push you underwater as they're trying to get their next breath of air. They say, whatever you do, try to save them from the outside the pool. But you know what our society tries to tell us? No, jump in the pool. Get in to the world and all the things that they're doing, all the evil they're doing. You'll be okay. Don't worry about it. But the process of being saved usually involves a person in a position that is stable and secure. But you know what? When we make mistaken alliances, when we start compromising the unity that God wants, and we start jumping into these dangerous situations, we endanger ourselves. We've got to be rooted in truth. We've got to be standing on truth. You know, you think about all these hurricanes and all the rescue people that come in. You know, they come in on the helicopters. Do those people jump off the helicopter a lot of times? No, they'll stay in the helicopter, they'll feed the rope down, and they say, please, take the rope. Please take the rope from a place that's safe and secure. You cannot save another individual by going into the danger zone in the sense of you go so deep that you can't get out yourself. But our world says, don't worry about that. You can make all these alliances that you want. You can make all these partnerships. But God is trying to encourage us. You have to stand on some essentials. But what the world says, no, if you want to rescue someone, what you have to do is you have to compromise the Bible in every way. And you've got to say what the world says. And that's how you save somebody. You've got to be working from a stable position. You've got to be working from the standard of the Word of God. But the question is, can you determine, can you distinguish between good and evil? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. Can you discern between good and evil? Can you discern between righteousness and unrighteousness? Because really, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about our spiritual alliances. Is if you can't determine between righteousness and unrighteousness, you're going to have a trouble when it comes to making alliances spiritually. Because when someone comes and they say, hey, I want to do this in worship, and you haven't consulted God, you might accept anything. Well, you know what? That sounds good. I want to do that. You have to be very careful. Now, from this one mistake, what we see is from this one mistake, what happens is Israel kind of spirals out of control. Because from this one mistake, the Gibeonites are not eradicated from the land. And what happens is the Israelites start mingling with the Gibeonites. And what happens is slowly but surely through the years, the Israelites start being surrounded by this. They start marrying the people of the land, and these people start to have an influence on them. You know, Psalm 106 reflects on this. Psalm 106, verses 34 through 39, it says, "They did not destroy the people concerning whom the Lord had commanded them." God told them when they went into the land, they were supposed to destroy the people of the land. But it says they mingled with the Gentiles, and they learned their work, and they served their idols. Which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood and the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. You know, they started intermingling with these individuals, people that didn't have the values that God wanted them to have, and slowly but surely they were influenced by this, all because of this one compromise that was made a long time ago. We forget some of those basic ideas of the Bible, and people don't like to hear them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals." Over the course of time, people can influence you, particularly in a negative way. Are you being influenced by the world in a way that you shouldn't be influenced? James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Have you decided you are going to get an alliance with the world, an alliance with sin? You know, in Ephesians, the Christian life is compared to marriage. We have the church. We have Christ dying for the church, protecting the church. And when we become Christians, we are in a similar relationship with our Savior. We're married to Jesus Christ. But I don't know if we take that seriously, because sometimes what we do all those things that we know are not acceptable in a relationship. But what are some of those things that are unacceptable? Well, you know, if you're married, you're not going to flirt with someone else, right? You're not going to cheat on someone else. But yet, that's what Christians do sometimes, is they say, you know what, I know I'm married to Christ, but I'll just flirt a little bit with the world for a while. Or, you know, I'll just have an affair with the world for a while, and it will be okay. Are we being careful? Are we counseling God before we get into the alliances that are around us? Are we considering the people that are around us and the influence they have? In Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 through 25, it says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." You have to be careful with the people that you surround yourself with. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't go out and try to evangelize. This does not mean that we don't go out and try to spread the gospel. But we have to be careful on who we're making alliances with, because an alliance is an intimate thing. You know, marriage is an intimate thing. Do you consider who you marry? Do you consider on who you get an alliance with? Because those things, those relationships make a huge difference. And are we considering that anymore? Or are we taking a page from the world? A page from Satan? Because what Satan says is, don't consider your relationship. Don't consider your standing with other individuals. Don't consider your alliance. Just go about your day. Don't worry about those things. Don't consult God. Don't consider the people that are around you and in your life. We have to be careful with our alliances. And a lot of times people will go and they'll say, "You know what, you just do what you want to do and that won't bother me." You know, and we kind of see that in our society, and I think it's coming back to bite some of us, you know, in the rear. You know, "Oh, just do what you want to do, it's not going to bother me, I'm not going to speak out against it." And what happens is now the people are like a big wave coming at us, and they're starting to persecute our children. And you wonder what the generations beyond is going to happen. Because we didn't question our alliances, we didn't take time to consult God and how He feels about certain things, the people around us. The people say all that time, "You know, do what you want to do, it doesn't bother me." Well, the question is it going to bother your children? Is it going to bother your grandchildren? Is it going to bother your great-grandchildren? Because we have not taken the time. And you know, a lot of times, when we don't say anything, it's kind of almost like being alliance to someone. Have you ever been in a room and they start talking about something and you just don't say anything? It's like giving them approval of what they're saying by sitting there silent. Yeah, you know, I'm for this issue, and they just go on and they talk about it for 15 minutes, and you just sit there totally silent, you don't say anything. Well, what do they think about you? Do you think they think you agree or disagree when you sat silent there for 15 minutes? What I say to you is probably more likely than not, they think you agree. Hey, did you agree? Because you sat there and you didn't say anything. Now, I think there's a time and place for everything, and I think we need to be considerate, and we need to contemplate our decisions, so on and so forth. But perhaps we become so passive with this alliance thing, where we're too afraid to say, you know what, I'm not really in alliance with you, and this is the reason I'm not. You know what, I'm going to have to consult God on this. Do we consult God anymore? Do we consider the people that are around us? It's like we don't want any confrontation anymore. We don't want to address the issues that are all around us anymore. And yet when I look throughout the book of Acts, that's not the men and women that I see there. They were people who are willing to say, you know what? You know, like when Paul goes into the temple, he says, you guys are serving the unknown God. But he says, I'm going to tell you the God that I serve. He didn't walk into the temple and say, you know what, I'm just going to walk through this temple silently. I know these people believe this, but I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to keep on walking. I'm not going to say a thing. That's not what Paul did. That's not what the apostles did. That's not what the followers of Christ did. You know what happens is first, it starts with not consulting God. And then you get into a mistaken alliance. And then after you don't consult God, what happens is you start getting surrounded by evil, and that starts to influence you. And then the last thing that happens is you eventually compromise. You know, that's what the people of Israel did in many cases, is they started compromising with the people that are around them. And we're talking about compromising their morals. You know, the people of Israel started to say, you know what? Of course, this is as we go on through history, past Joshua, and we get into Judges and times of this, is we have the people of Israel starting to say, you know what, we'll compromise with these people around us. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, can two walk together unless they agree? You know, that's kind of the basic idea. You know, can two walk together unless they agree? Who is he walking with? Who is our world walking with? And you know what happens is, the only way we can really have unity is if we agree, and if you have two people that have two very different viewpoints, like how an individual is supposed to be saved, how in the world are they going to walk together unless they agree? And what our world says is we're just not going to talk about that. Or, they negotiate so much that it looks like, for just a short time, that they're unified in some way, form, or fashion. Someone has to give up something if we're going to walk together in unity, and people don't like that anymore. For there to be unity from two opposing viewpoints, someone's going to have to compromise, someone's going to have to concede, someone's going to have to give up their position. And the question is, are Christians, members of the Lord's church, are we giving up the position? We say, yeah, we'll be in alliance with you. I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm not going to consult God. I'm not going to be worried that there's all this evil around me, my family, my children, my grandchildren. I'm not going to stand up against it. You know, some issues, there are no middle ground. I think that's what God's trying to tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Some things, there is no middle ground. Righteousness, unrighteousness, there's no middle ground. Believer, unbeliever, there's no middle ground. You're going to fall in one of those two categories. But what our world is trying to do is say, no, there's a third category out there. There's righteousness, unrighteousness, and then there's the good people out there. You know, there's the believer, the unbeliever, and then there's the half-believer out there. And that's okay. But that's not the picture I think we see in the Bible, not the picture that God is trying to paint for us. Is that when it comes to our alliances and our partnerships throughout this life, we need to consult God. Because if we don't consult God, what will happen is we start to get surrounded by evil. And then after we get surrounded by evil, you know what happens? We start to compromise. Have you considered your alliances and partnerships? You know, we can look out to the world and we can see this easily. How in the world are those two people in alliance together? It doesn't make any sense. But can we see it when we have made a mistaken alliance? I want you to think about your alliances, your partnerships, and your relationships this evening. I want you to think about your alliances, your partnerships, and your relationships this evening and ask you some questions. Number one, did you consult God? Did you consult God? Because many people aren't doing it anymore. They say, I'm going to jump into this relationship, spiritually or physically, and I'm not going to consult God one bit. I'm not going to think about what he says. I'm not going to consider it. Are you consulting God when it comes to your relationship? Because you're not consulting God, I'm wondering if you're at the next step. Are you being surrounded by opposite things that God wants? Because that's what happens is when you don't consult God, what happens is you get drawn into these relationships and you start to look around and you start to see, I'm surrounded by all these things that are opposite of God, what God would want. instead of being surrounded by righteousness, I'm surrounded by unrighteousness. And the third question I think you should consider is, am I compromising God's standards? Because that's what it leads to. When you don't consult God and you start to get surrounded by evil, slowly but surely what happens is you make a compromise. You make a compromise of what? God's standards. You start believing things that you shouldn't believe. You start doing things that you shouldn't do because you have got yourself into a mistaken alliance. In fact, I think what the Bible is trying to tell us is there's some impossible alliances. There's some alliances that won't get you to heaven. And certainly our world doesn't want to tell you that. There's some alliances that you can get into. You can get an alliance with the devil, it won't get you to heaven. You can get an alliance with false doctrines and doctrines of men, it won't get you to heaven. People are making all kinds of alliances that they certainly should not because they haven't consulted God. Have you consulted God when it comes to your salvation? Have you consulted God when it comes to your relationships? It's definitely something that perhaps we should consider from time to time. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. You don't want to be in alliance with anything that wouldn't get us to heaven. And the only thing that will get us to heaven is the words of God. And Jesus Christ and His saving blood, if we will do those things, we have to be aligned with truth. Perhaps this subject of the Lord's invitation, we ask to please come as we stand, as we sing.